Section 5. You and Your Money, Part 1. In this section, we'll be discussing sources of money and banking. Sources of money refers to where your income comes from. The most common sources for people in the workforce are salary and possibly a return on investments. For those retired people who are no longer working, their major source of income is from retirement accounts, Social Security, and again, possibly a return on investments. If you receive funds from other sources, you'll need to include those in your income. Some possible other sources could be an allowance from your family, a student loan, or money from a trust fund. You could even be lucky enough to win the lottery.
Yeah, right. What do you think when you get your paycheck or other money? This is the time to talk about banking. Banking gives you an easy way to pay your bills. It also helps safeguard your money. We've used the term banking to refer to handling your money through a financial institution. In addition to banks, credit unions are available in every city. Credit unions are owned by the depositors. You become a member of the credit union. The board of directors is made up of members. They have a large amount of input into how the institution is run. Credit unions may offer more liberal loan policies for their members. We'll soon be hearing more about insurance companies getting into the financial business, and they will also be referred to as a financial institution.
Banking basically consists of depositing your money into an account in a financial institution where it remains available for you to use as you need it. Each financial institution has several kinds of accounts. The basic ones are checking, savings, and usually a money market account is also available. We'll briefly describe each of these accounts.
Checking accounts. This is the account you will use primarily for your monthly expenses. This is the account from which you will write checks for your bills, groceries, etc. Some financial institutions pay interest on these accounts. Some do not. Some offer free checks. Others have a charge for checks. This is something you will want to consider when making your decision about banking. You'll also want to look at their policy regarding overdrafts and bad checks. The charges may vary with each institution. You'll need to find out if there are any service charges or maintenance fees. Some financial institutions charge a monthly service charge if you do not maintain the minimum balance required. Some charge a fee for each check you write. Some charge a flat monthly service fee and allow you to write up to a specified number of checks each month. These fees can add up quickly. Most financial institutions offer a basic, no-frills checking account with no fees. You must, however, purchase your own checks and you receive no interest on the account.
Savings accounts. This account is used primarily for money you want to save. Interest is paid on savings accounts, but it's not the same in all institutions. You can withdraw money from this account. You may be able to transfer money by phone to your checking account and withdraw money through an ATM machine. Many institutions require a minimum balance in order to avoid a monthly service fee. Some limit the number of withdrawals that can be made within a specified period of time. In addition to checking on these items, you'll want to inquire about the rate of interest and the frequency that it's paid. It makes a big difference if the interest is added in monthly or quarterly.
Money market accounts. This is similar to a savings account. There is usually a larger minimum balance required, and the interest paid on this account is usually higher than on a regular savings account. There is often a limit to the number of transactions you can make in any one month. You can usually write checks on these accounts as well as transfer money by phone and withdraw money through an ATM. Things that are common in all three of these types of accounts are you can make deposits and withdrawals, you can set up automatic electronic withdrawals for monthly payments such as utility bills, rent or mortgage, car payments, etc. You receive regular statements showing all deposits and withdrawals and interest earned during that time period.
There's a lot to consider when choosing a financial institution. It may be helpful for you to know that at this time, they're very competitive. They want your business and are constantly giving out information about what they have to offer. Making a choice may not be easy. Convenience may be an important factor, especially if you like to make your deposits and withdrawals in person. Some larger banks have many branches for the convenience of their customers. Smaller institutions or credit unions may not always be so close by, but may offer other advantages. The key factor on all accounts is the average daily balance carried in the account during the month. This daily average balance is what the bank will work from to determine what fees they can charge. On all statements, the institution tells you the average balance on all the accounts. The statement also includes all transactions made during that time period. In shopping for the best offer, you need to know how they calculate the daily average balance. Other things you'll want to check out: ATM card availability, audio response system, direct deposit. This means you have your paycheck, Social Security check, and other forms of income deposited directly into your account, reasonable service charges, and a list of available services and fees, attractive interest rates, minimum balance requirements, a good variety of savings options, so you can put money in more than one account to enhance the amount of interest earned, and you want to know if they are customer-friendly.
Is there a charge for these services?
Most of the ones I just mentioned are usually free. Fees for these services depends on the policy of the institution, the kind of account you have, and may even be based on the amount of money you have in your accounts. There are usually other services on an as-needed basis, and nearly always come with a fee attached. These include things like notary services, traveler's checks, money orders, copies of documents, electronic fund transfers, internet and/or PC banking. This means the customer has the ability to access accounts, transfer funds, pay bills, etc., from home using a personal computer. Account balance assistance. Someone at the institution will help you if you cannot balance your account. Be aware that this would not be an ongoing service. If you request help on a regular basis, the bank would probably ask you to get someone else, a friend or family member, to help you learn how to balance your account. Account research. When there is a discrepancy between your records and the bank statement, they will research the account to see if an error has been made. Excessive withdrawals from accounts. Savings and money market accounts often have a minimum number of withdrawals within any 1 month. If you go past that number, there will be a fee. Non-sufficient checks. There's always a charge if you write a check without having enough money in the bank to cover it. If you do this, the company you wrote the check to will also charge you a fee, sometimes as much as $25. Return items. If you deposit a check from someone who doesn't have enough money in the bank for that check, the bank will deduct that amount from your account, return that check to you, and charge you a fee. Duplicate statements. If you misplace your statement, the bank can issue a duplicate. Safe deposit box. Most financial institutions have safe deposit boxes available for their customers. Only authorized persons can access the box. There is a yearly fee.
That is an impressive list. I do have some questions about a couple of them. Can you explain the statement that shows all the transactions?
Yes, I think so. The statement is a printed record the bank keeps about what is going on in all your accounts. You usually get a statement every month for your checking and money market accounts, and quarterly for your savings account. I hope you've been keeping track of all your transactions for deposits, checks you've written, debit cards, ATM withdrawals, and any withdrawals you've made in person.
I can keep track of my deposits and checks okay, but sometimes I forget to write down when I use a debit card or the ATM machine.
That's why it's important to look at your statement every time. This gives you a way to check your record against the statement. This is how you keep track of how much money you actually have in the bank. If the records don't match, you need to find out why, especially if there's a big difference. If you don't keep track and overdraw your account, you can face some sizable charges.
Is it better to have all your money in one place or to use several institutions?
Keeping everything in one institution is fine as long as you have different ownership categories to be sure all monies are insured. This is a complex question and we can't give all the details here. However, your financial institution will give you the information you need. Here are some basics. FDIC is a federal insurance program that insures your deposit accounts, generally up to $100,000. More may be available depending on how your deposit accounts are structured. There are several types of funds that are not insured. Examples are stocks, mutual funds, and annuities.
It's all a bit overwhelming. I have an easier question for you. Do all of these institutions offer ATM services? That seems really convenient. And what about debit cards?
Yes to both. An ATM card is simply a plastic card that resembles a credit card. You can use this card to withdraw money from your account without having to go to your bank or credit union. As you know, ATM machines are everywhere. ATM cards are a great way to save time when withdrawing cash. Sometimes there is a one-time fee when you order a card. One of the most important items to research is whether or not the institution that owns the ATM machine charges a fee to use the machine. This fee is known as a surcharge. The amount of the fee commonly ranges from 75 cents to $2. There may not be a surcharge if the machine you are using is from the same institution that issued the card. Some institutions are banding together and have an agreement not to surcharge each other's customers. If there's a surcharge, it will be disclosed prior to the completion of the transaction. Safety is important when using an ATM card. The safest way is to stay in your car while using a drive-through ATM facility. Never use a drive-up ATM if you're not in your car. Walking up to a drive-through ATM can be very dangerous for two reasons. First, there is the possibility of being hit by another car. And second, your exposure makes you more vulnerable to a robbery. Never count your money from an ATM in an area where you may be observed.
Gee, those are things I never thought of. Thanks for the tip. Now, exactly what is a debit card?
I haven't forgotten your question. Just didn't get to it yet. A debit card can be used just like a regular ATM card, but it also works like a check.
How can a card work like a check?
It works like this. You can present the card for payment to a cashier at any store or restaurant that accepts MasterCard or Visa. You sign the receipt, and your purchase will be deducted from your account.
So it's like a credit card?
Yes and no. The card is accepted just like credit cards at most merchants. The difference is that the balance is deducted from your checking account instead of being billed on your credit card account. This means there are no interest charges. The purchases you make with the debit card will show up on your bank statement, showing the amount, date, and the place where you used the card. There is something else that you might not think to ask, but you need to know there is a spending limit with a debit card. If that is not a problem, there is still a daily limit on your debit card, usually about $1,000 per day.
Can I overdraw my account when I use my debit card?
Yes, and it's easy to do if you don't keep track of what you spend. If you don't have enough money in your account to cover the amount of your purchase, you'll be overdrawn. Of course, you can expect to pay overdraft fees if that happens.
When I use my debit card, are the funds withdrawn immediately from my checking account?
You should assume that it happens immediately, but it may not appear on your account for a few days. Be sure to make the entry in your check register as soon as you use your card, just like when you write out a check. If you don't do this, it's very easy to lose track of the amount of money you have in your account, and overdrafts are expensive.
So, is it better to use a credit card, write a check, or use a debit card for my purchases?
That's a complicated question, and there's no simple answer. It depends on the situation at the time of the purchase. You'll need to decide which method is right for you at the time. For example, you may not have a check with you, but you can use either your credit or debit card. If you have a high balance on your credit card, you may not want to add to that. So in that instance, a debit card would be best. There isn't any one method that's right for you all the time. This simply gives you another choice of how to pay for your purchases.
In the list of services, you mentioned something called Audio Response. I really don't know what that is.
This is a convenient way to check on your accounts and move money between accounts. By using a telephone, you are able to access your account day or night in the convenience of your home. Many audio response systems will allow you to verify deposits and loan balances, find out if a check is cleared, make a credit card or loan payment, or even take a cash advance. This service can be a real time saver as it eliminates standing in long lines. You'll need to find out about what fees may be charged for this service.
Is there anything else I need to know?
I'm sure there is. When you set up your accounts, the financial institution will be very helpful about answering your questions. They'll also be available if you have other questions later.
Thank you. I think this information will help me do a much better job with my banking.
Authors for this section are Nona Elzey, former Vice President, Deposit Guarantee Bank, Jackson, Mississippi, Martha Phillip, Vice President, Bank of Madison, Illinois, and Ruth Zardized, President and CEO, CCSD Credit Union, Elmira, New York.